Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR, and I'm Tim Wildman with Wesley Wildman and with Fred Jackson. And now in studio is Steve Paisley-Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, everybody.
Rocking the plaid today,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I got the plaid going.
Plaid that now.
Well, I got plaid on.
Yeah, you got plaid on, so I guess you're rocking it, too. So, you guys wearing winter plaids, what I call it, winter plaid with the flannel shirts on. Yep. For those who can't see into the studio, or Steve's chair is really jacked up high.
I like this.
So that he's looking down on all of us. he's peering down in his posture here.
Posture.
Is that comfortable with your knees slamming up against the desk?
Okay, I do like to be up tall like this.
But
especially with the sling I have on my arm,
okay,
I can't do this. I can't like reach up very high, okay. So I have to have everything below me to do this kind of stuff. So,
all right, so we do have Jenna still on the phone with us from Florida. Jenna is on the phone, and Jenna Ellis with Jenna Ellis in the Morning. And we were, Steve, before, I don't know if you got to hear it, but we were talking about, we wanted Jenna to answer the question about the relative to the pardon. Go ahead, Fred, pose the question.
Yeah, Jenna, this morning, Fox reporter Madeline Rivera said special counsel David Weiss and Hunter Biden's legal team are fighting over how Hunter's gun and tax cases go away. I'm going to play you a little bit of her report and then get your response. Cut one.
Hunter's attorneys are arguing that the president's full and unconditional pardon warrants the automatic dismissal of the indictments. Weiss is taking issue with that, saying that does not mean the grand jury's decision to charge him based on finding of probable cause should be wiped away as if it never occurred. Weiss goes on to say there was none and never has been any evidence of vindictive or selective prosecution. And that statement there is particularly striking given that it contradicts the president's assertion that Hunter was targeted for being his son.
So according to the report, Jenna, Special Counsel David Weiss says a grand jury found that Hunter Biden was probably guilty of those crimes, and that the assertion from the President Biden, that the cases against his son were politically motivated, he doesn't believe that, doesn't regard that, and therefore what I'm getting from her report is that there could be recharging against Hunter Biden. Is that what that means? This is the first I've heard of this, so I'm a little bit confused.
Yeah, and it is a confusing concept because pardon, generally what people think of is, and they're right in this, is that a pardon basically forgives the criminal activity and it removes all legal penalties. And so basically it stops all legal proceedings in their tracks, but it doesn't necessarily remove a conviction from the record, and it just would stop all of the legal consequences. And so it kind of depends on how the judge in the case perceives the pardon and wants to address it. And so basically what I'm gathering from what David Weiss is saying is he's just trying to save his own career. He doesn't want to acknowledge to the court in any way, shape, or form that there was any sort of wrongful prosecution or politically motivated prosecution. And so this is Biden's own DOJ fighting against him. And if he had not issued that statement suggesting that his own DOJ is weaponized, which was a very interesting assertion, because Trump's lawyers should use that acknowledgement to say, listen, you know, the sitting president is saying that his own DOJ is weaponized. And so clearly that would have infected the DOJ's activities against Trump as well. But I think this is just David Weiss trying to save his own bacon and not wanting to acknowledge that. But the bottom line is that the pardon itself will have the same effect as in either case, which is that all legal proceedings and consequences against Hunter Biden for any of the DOJ's cases, but also going all the way back to January of 2014. That is how long this pardon extends. No legal proceedings for offenses against the United States, meaning federal offenses, can occur against Hunter.
So why? This seems to me like this is Joe Biden protecting Joe Biden.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, because what he's given a 10-year pardon. Is that the way you describe it?
Yeah, it covers 11 years, actually, of activity. Yeah.
Why don't you just go back to birth?
Well, what's interesting is that this is basically the extent of the statute of limitations. And so some of the things outside of that would probably be precluded by the statute of limitations. But also, it was April of 2014 is when Hunter Biden joined the board of Burisma. And all of these allegations of corruption against the Biden crime family. I mean, this is what this is covering. And so for people like Senator, Josh Hawley and some of these other Republicans that are talking specifically about the two convictions, the tax case and the gun case against Hunter Biden, what they're missing in all of this is that I think that's just a smokescreen. This was my opinion of this is that the Democrats just put Hunter up there as the fall guy to say, give us a talking point during the campaign that no one is above the law.
Right,
we know that
right.
Biden is going to pardon him anyway.
Right.
And then this will be a pretext to have the pardon extend all the way back so that nobody's going to investigate all of the corruption for the last 11 years.
And the corruption, of course, Jenna, is not just with Hunter, but Joe Biden is implicated in this.
Oh, yeah. So if Joe Biden, the president, pardons his son for 11 years or 10 years or whatever, going back to 2014, then there's no investigation, Joe Biden, if he's financially connected to Hunter Biden, in terms of the international money he was getting from China and from Burisma and other places in the world while his dad was VP, I mean, it was influence peddling, we all know it. Then if Joe Biden, the big guy, as he was referred to in one of the letters or emails, got a cut, then that can't be investigated either. This sort of thwarts everything. Listen, personally, this is Tim talking here, and y'all may care. Maybe we need, I don't care to have any more investigations into Hunter Biden or Joe Biden in any of this. This is my view. You may disagree with me. I think Americans, we know what happened here, and we know that Hunter Biden made a killing off his dad's name illegally for a long time. Now, it may have been, when I say illegally, I mean, I guess it hasn't been, well, tax evasion is illegal. But I'm talking about this money that he made. It's really illegal to do what he did, but he got away with it. And probably there have probably been Republicans who've got away with it as well, okay? I'm not saying Republicans like money too, so I'm not saying this hasn't happened in the past. Kind of one of those things where people say, well, quote, everybody does it, okay? But I think we all know what happened here. Joe Biden's, on his last, he's fading fast, Joe Biden. I'm talking about mentally. We see that happening. And so he doesn't even really have the mental faculties to go through any kind of a hearing or court trials or anything like this. So I'm all for, and I think probably President Trump feels, I don't know how he feels, but.
He said he doesn't want to hurt people.
Yeah, I would just.
He said he's not entitled.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be him hurting people.
Well.
They would be hurting themselves. But he doesn't want to see them prosecuted.
And a couple years, I don't know how long ago, but he did mention that he would consider pardoning
Hunter Biden.
Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
President Trump did.
I have a question for Jenna.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Jenna, is it possible? I'm hearing whispers that they are wanting Joe Biden to proactively pardon all the people that could be in Trump's crosshairs coming into the new, like I'm talking about like Jack Smith and Merrick Garland and all these people that are due for a reckoning when the Justice Department gets cleaned out. Could he proactively pardon those people and then thwart the justice?
Unfortunately, likely yes. We all remember the pardon of, well, only Tim does as the boomer. I wasn't around yet, but I remember historically the pardon of Nixon by Ford, right? And that was proactive because he had not actually been charged with anything related to Watergate or any of that. He was likely going to be impeached, which is of course why he resigned. And pardons cannot cover impeachment, but he resigned before that. But Ford gave him a full pardon, and so nothing was ever pursued. And wouldn't that be so fascinating after the last 4 years of the lawfare and the weaponization of government against not only Trump and his associates, but, you know, Christians, pro-lifers, conservatives, you know, running the gamut. And then it's going to be very interesting to see if Biden does have these kind of broad sweeping pardons that are proactive for anyone else in his administration, including himself. I mean, he may end up just issuing a pardon for himself. And why would Trump not do the same thing, by the way, at the end of his next term, because he won't have another election coming up. And we've seen all of the lawfare that has been against him and a lot of his associates, including me, by the way. And why would he not just issue a blanket pardon for anyone who has been in any position whatsoever for his administration so that he doesn't have to deal with all of that after the 4 years?
Hmm. All right. Well, okay. Well, we will see what happens going forward. But This is, you know, what's happened in the last 48 hours with the pardon of, you know, Joe Biden. He was never going to pardon his son. No, I wasn't going to get involved, and he did. Listen, he acted as a father, is what he said. Of course, his son's 50-something years old. I mean, but
an adult responsibility.
I'm not a psychologist here or a...
Son of a psychologist either.
I'm not a son of a psychologist either. But what you got with Biden, and Biden is classic enabling, which happens every day, all day across the world. And well-meaning parents bail their kids out of trouble.
That they created.
Yeah. Parents bail their kids out of trouble every day, and they know it's wrong to do it, but they do it anyway. Because they can't help themselves, because they don't want to see their children suffer the consequences of bad behavior. They hope they'll learn without suffering the bad behavior consequences, and they won't do it anymore. That's the perpetual hope of the enabler. I understand that's human. That's how humans behave, but it almost never works. And in the case of Hunter Biden, he has a lifetime of misbehavior, which is, you know, for all the world to see. Tragic,
you don't believe tragically. He's changed, Tim? I mean, he wrote that heartfelt statement that said, you know,
I don't know.
I'm going to clean up my life now.
Well, you know what?
And, you know, Democrats are always honest.
I know, right? In all seriousness, it's hard for me to be serious sometimes. I do hope Hunter Biden finds Jesus Christ and turns his life over to the Lord. Because that's the only way to get truly clean and sober, is to give your life to the Lord, so that when this life's over, however you live it, when this life's over, if you give your life to Christ, you will have eternal life, says the Bible. And that's what Jesus talked about. But, you know, I don't wish bad on anybody. I hope Hunter Biden gets his life cleaned up. And I hope his dad gives his life to Christ, too, because... He needs salvation. We all need salvation. All right. Thank you, Jenna. Appreciate it very much.
Amen to that. And this is a great season for the good news of Christ.
Amen. 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 Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right. All right, Steve, next story.
All right, let's take a look at what's going on over in Israel, because there's some interesting things happening. Donald Trump issued a warning the other day. He said if the hostages that Hamas still holds in Gaza are not released by the time he takes office, the 20th of January, there will be, in his words, all hell to pay. To which...
He said that?
He said that. And that prompted Benjamin Netanyahu to answer or reply this, cut 15.
I want to thank President Trump for his strong statement yesterday about the need for Hamas to release the hostages, the responsibility of Hamas. And this adds another force to our continuing effort to release all the hostages. Thank you, President Trump.
Meanwhile, how many hostages do they still have, Steve?
I don't know the number.
They say there are 100, but we don't know how many of those are alive.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's a ceasefire, a tenuous ceasefire going on now between Israel and Hezbollah up in the north in Lebanon. And there's been some pot shots going back and forth even today. So that's why I say it's tenuous. But the defense minister of Israel, his name is Israel Katz. He has said, if you break the ceasefire and we go back after you, we are no longer going to differentiate between Hezbollah and Lebanon. They have been doing that. The Lebanese government, they've been trying not to hold them accountable. It's just a terrorist group that's occupying the southern part of Lebanon. But now all that's off if the ceasefire gets broken, and Israel will hold the government of Lebanon responsible for what's going on with Hezbollah.
I don't think in my lifetime, I can't remember where Israel was this serious about dealing with terrorism.
Nope.
Yeah, I think the October 7th, when that happened a year ago, that changed everything. Mm-hmm. Because up until then, it kind of been tit for tat.
Mm-hmm.
But when they did that and they slaughtered and butchered, what was it, 1,000?
Yeah,
1,200
Israeli citizens, some of them Americans and Canadians and others. I think Israel said, we're taking the gloves off. Mm-hmm. We're gonna go after these people, that is Hamas and Hezbollah, and it's us or them. Us or them. Yeah. But they're not
going. They didn't ask questions about the surrounding countries about what you. No, what,
no.
What do you
no,
think
no,
about
because
this?
Lebanon houses Hezbollah.
Right. Exactly.
So you can't if Israel were to say, well, we're not going to take on Hezbollah because they're housed in a sovereign country, then they wouldn't do anything. They're helpless then.
Yeah.
They can't do that. They have to hunt down and kill these people wherever they find them.
Right. Hezbollah invited this. They started firing into Israel the day after that Hamas massacre.
Yeah.
What's happening right now is Israeli intelligence. I was looking at a report this morning. Israeli intelligence has detected that Iran is shipping weapons to Syria, and Syria is then shipping them into Hezbollah.
Yeah, because Syria and Lebanon border.
Yes. So that is going on. And what Israel is saying, as soon as we detect that Hezbollah is rearming,
right,
we will, right, we regard that as a violation of the ceasefire,
yep,
and we are going to attack you. That's what's going on.
Next story, Steve.
All right. Hey, good news.
Good news. We want good news,
Steve. Yeah, let's do some good news.
Yeah.
The sale of Bibles is surging. Through this year, through October, the sale of Bibles has increased by 22% over last year. Now, overall book sales, less than 1% increase. But Bibles are just popping off the shelves, and they're saying that people are experiencing anxiety and they're worried about their children and grandchildren, so they're looking to find some inspiration from the Word of God as to how to deal with life.
What do you think about that?
I think it's a great thing. I think that, you know, they might not know what they got in their hands. They might not know it's the Holy Word of God that can change their lives. They just think, oh, I'm going to read the Psalm 23rd Psalm and hopefully it'll help me, you know, be at peace. There's a lot more in there that can happen.
So the Bible sales are up, what, year over year, 23%?
22% compared to the same period last year, through from January through October.
Is that worldwide or U.S.? Or
U.S. Yeah, U.S.
Go ahead.
You know, that's interesting, too, because I would figure people would be downloading the Bible on their app. You know, because that's an obvious one, but I think I'm just as excited the fact that they're going to get a hard copy.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
So
yeah, handle the Word of God. I mean, it's more powerful than a two-edged sword.
What do you think about that, Fred?
Well, the story goes on to say that they're noticing a spike in the sales of Bibles to young people, which I find kind of interesting. But you stop and think for a moment what young people have experienced over the last 18 months, what we were just talking about in Israel. The attack against men, women, and children, it was a massacre, what happened there. You're going to ask questions, okay, why would Hamas do that? And then within days, you had the demonstrations, hatred against the Jews, despite the fact that 1,200 of their citizens had just been massacred on the streets of America. We had anti-Semitic, anti-Israel hatred being displayed in the streets and our university campuses. I think if you're a young person, you say, what's going on here? This doesn't make sense. And the only way to make sense of it is God's word. And then on top of that, you've got this craziness with transgenderism going on. And people saying, I feel, you know, a guy saying, I feel like a girl today, therefore I should be allowed to play on the girls' teams.
Yeah.
And you've got all of that controversy going on. And so a young person is looking at the world and saying, everything is upside down. How do I make sense of this? And some, thankfully, are saying, maybe God's word has the answer to this.
Yeah.
And so I think that's in part is what's driving this. It'd be interesting to talk to people like George Barna on this, just to get some thoughts on this.
I'm going to be talking to the American Bible Society later today.
Yeah, amen.
About this.
Good.
Let's end here. You know that Justin Trudeau came down to visit Donald Trump, and they had a nice dinner together. It was surrounding a table. It wasn't recorded, but according to two people at the table, this is the conversation that took place. President Trump told Justin Trudeau that Canada has failed the U.S. border by allowing large amounts of drugs and people to cross. Trump said that he was also upset about the trade imbalance between the two countries, which is more than $100 billion to Canada's favor. He said he wants that fixed. Justin Trudeau says you would kill our Canadian economy completely if you put the tariffs in place that you're suggesting. To which Trump replied, so your country can't survive unless it's ripping off the U.S. to the tune of $100 billion? So Trump says, well, maybe Canada should become the 51st state. And don't worry, Justin, I'll let you be governor.
He said that?
Yes.
All right.
Peter wow. Ducey covered
I would that. Have been liked to have been sitting around that table, too.
What's he talking about?
But they also had a little fun. He had a little fun with it, too. He said, you know, it's being reported that somebody spoke up and said, yeah, I don't know if you want another liberal state, though.
Oh, that's
and,
true.
Yeah, and then Trump said, well, I don't know. We can make it half liberal and half conservative.
Yes. Well, the reality is that Justin Trudeau is in political trouble.
It's bad.
His approval rating is around 25%.
Yeah.
Where the capital C Conservative Party leader, Pierre Poilievre, his approval rating is well above that. We're just waiting for an election in
That's
Canada,
it. Yeah.
And Justin Trudeau is finished. But a lot of people don't realize 80% of the exports come out of Canada come to the United States. But it's very advantageous at the moment because the Canadian dollar is like 35% less in value than the U.S. dollar.
Wow.
Which means you can buy a bunch of Canadian stuff.
Sure.
If you want to go to Canada on vacation right now, now's the time to go.
Yeah, okay.
Now's the time to go. So that's why, you know, if you're purchasing Canadian products down here, you're paying, you know, just pennies.
Mm-hmm. I feel really, really sorry for all the NBA players in the Toronto basketball team who are getting paid in Canadian dollars.
Yeah,
they must be starving. I don't know if they can make their house payment.
Actually, you know, a lot of players don't want to go because in Canada,
the government, they tax you to death.
The taxation
is
much better.
Socialism.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, when you think of Canada recently, you think about the pastor being taken, you know, pulled out of his congregation.
Yeah.
And
yep.
All right, Fred, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks to Wesley, Steve, Brent Creeley, our producer, Chris Woodward, and let's see, Jenna. Jenna Ellis was on with us. And we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. And stay with us throughout the day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.